Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I am Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Lynette Wallach, the highly regarded IT leader and senior analyst who shares her best practices in healthcare IT. Lynette, you have a diverse background with many different contributions. Thank you for sharing your deep experiences and insights with our audience.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.
Can you talk about your education, training, and work experience in healthcare?
Yes, I've worked for Vancouver Coastal Health for close to 10 years. My department is IT Client Support Services. I provide support for the acute care environment as a senior analyst. I liaise, coordinate, and facilitate with vendors, internal IT business, and clinical users. I have had the opportunity to work on many projects, as they relate to the desktop, providing quality assurance and compatibility testing. It is a very challenging and dynamic environment to work in. Prior to coming to Vancouver Coastal Health, I completed a business admin and business computer co-op program at Capilano College. I have had the opportunity to extend my education while at Vancouver Coastal Health as they have supported and encouraged my training. Since coming to VCH, I have taken many courses through CDI Polar Bear, including the ITIL Foundation Certificate. I have sought out internal VCH training courses, including Frontline Leadership and Leadership Breakfast. I have completed the Project Management Professional designation and recently graduated from Royal Roads University with a Master's in Leadership. VCH has sponsored these initiatives for me, for which I'm grateful.
What were the biggest obstacles in your career, and how did you overcome them?
I would say the biggest obstacles I personally had are the frequent management changes within my department, the hierarchy, which include red tape, politics, competing priorities, and resistance to change. My department has gone through several management changes. These changes resulted in confusion and lack of understanding of the overall vision. We are now undergoing consolidation of services with the provincially mandated shared services. It is often difficult to keep up with the changes, but the best thing to do is to be able to learn to adapt. You must have the ability to be resilient and try to stay focused on the overall goal of providing quality healthcare services to the doctors and clinicians who are treating the patients. Hierarchy within the healthcare system has been challenging at times. It is often difficult to get an idea or concept of how we can improve existing systems up the chain of command. Communicating to create urgency is difficult when there are already so many initiatives and competing priorities. However, persistence and initiative do help, but often if you want to get a project going, you need to have a proper business case and funding available. You also have to have the relationships within the organization to get the work done. Resistance to change is a big obstacle in a large health system. Provincial government mandated health authority regionalization back in 2001. However, with the ever-changing management and health services funding, it has been difficult to regionalize business and clinical systems. There are several areas that still operate in silo systems and processes. I do believe that the shared services initiative and the more recent management restructuring, there will be even more progress made towards improved efficiencies and standardized systems. Change starts with one person. Each individual can help influence and change others' perspectives. It's a slow process, but change in general makes most people uncomfortable. The important thing is to remain positive throughout change.
So you talk about organizational change. Can you share your lessons on organizational change?
My thesis was written on how to make organizational change successful by getting frontline staff involved. Some key themes that came out of the research was that frontline staff involvement in organizational change, relationships, trust, collaboration, team building, and engagement create buy-in, understanding, awareness, and improved efficiency. It's like the collective rather than the individualistic or siloed approach to change. It's not easy to create a collective culture in a large organization, but some of the techniques were to have communities of practice, world cafes, team building exercises, and more exposure to leaders, including collaborative forums. I have a friend from school, Erin Stewart, who did her thesis on centralized coordination models, shared leadership, and spiral dynamics. This also really interests me, exploring organizations which have evolved from hierarchical structure to a shared collaborative approach. Although I realize this would be difficult in the healthcare system, it's a very intriguing concept for me. All change requires constant and authentic communication. The environment is extremely complex, so effective communication is a challenge, especially in times of change. This is where I believe it is imperative that leaders share as much information as they can with staff. there has to be a balance of what can and can't be communicated. Not all information may be available, but getting the message out and asking feedback goes a long way.
So how does creativity play a role in IT?
Creativity in IT is very important. However, there are different ways of approaching creativity. There is definitely a lot of creativity in IT that goes into problem solving, coding, and development, for example. But creativity can also mean to include more fun in doing things differently. When we were working on team assignments at Royal Roads, Erin Stewart did a lot of mapping out concepts through drawing on a whiteboard. It was her way of taking notes and understanding. Her drawings also brought out new ideas within the team. It made us realize the importance of the different learning styles. There's a lot of visual learners, people who may need to write things down to see the picture and make the link. How often is this done when in a planning meeting, in any meeting? We need to pay closer attention to other learning styles and try to incorporate these styles whenever possible. Think of ways to bring creativity in the workplace. Try something completely different.
So what is the value in best practices of communication and leading teams and in working in teams?
Being able to communicate effectively requires emotional intelligence, self-awareness, and personal reflection to challenge bias and mental models, as well as you have to recognize the diversity. You have to be open and curious. I think it's extremely important to listen to people and ask more questions. Some people may not be as vocal as others, but they still need to be heard. Pay close attention to the people who may need someone to ask for their input. You can miss out on many ideas by not asking and listening. Create connections with people and the communication will open up. Recognize that 80% of communication is nonverbal. In terms of the healthcare industry and any large organization, communication is extremely complex. Large projects often involve many other departments, so your team and stakeholders can be quite large. We live in an email environment. With so many emails and changes going on, we cannot fully rely on this method. There needs to be more face-to-face communication. It is important to get the right people in the room when communicating. In my thesis, I wrote about the importance of collaborative forums where the staff and leaders have more exposure to each other. Collaborative communication can potentially remove communication filters that often occur in hierarchical structures.
In this discourse, you talked about emotional intelligence. What do you mean by that?
Emotional intelligence is really just having the ability to be aware of yourself and aware of your personal bias and just challenge yourself. You have to be able to challenge your thinking, and you have to be able to kind of think of, it's kind of like creativity and thinking about who you are and just being very self-aware of who you are.
So you talked about the healthcare system, and I guess many other organizations, they're fairly complex. So anytime you have any kind of hierarchies, what are some of the barriers or challenges that can occur with regards to communication?
Getting the communication up the chain of command is difficult. There's just so many people that you have to communicate an idea or concept up to, and oftentimes if you're not up at a manager level or executive level, you do have to follow a chain of command. So the chain of command obviously would create filters. And there's in my research, it actually talked about how communication can be filtered up and how communication can change to become more positive than it actually is. So the issues don't necessarily get up top, which is a problem.
So what can we done to help, get around these filters or to manage these filters?
That's where I suggest having more collaborative forums and then also having exposure to the leaders. I put in my thesis that the leaders need to come out more often and speak with the frontline staff. There has to be a certain amount of trust that's developed. You can't just pop out of your office and say, "Hey, what are you working on today?" But you can just, make yourself more available and just having that exposure with the frontline staff so they know who you are and they know what's going on in the organization and they better understand the vision and goals of what's going on. And I definitely think getting to know the leaders as people develops trust and understanding.
How does relationships play a role in IT?
Relationships drive the organization. They are the ability to get things done. Policies and procedures are not as effective without relationships. People will resist if they don't understand the policies and may band together to prevent them. When I started at BCH, I was eager to make a difference. I have worked on many projects, acting as a technical resource and advising on healthcare systems. I have gotten to know a lot of people working in the IT department, as well as the clinicians, doctors, and executives. This has made a difference when project timelines are first and foremost. The relationships you have with people are very important. Peer support is important within organizations. The more chances the staff have to network with each other and talk, the more opportunities exist to improve the system. Just having the staff from different departments get together to have coffee generates conversation and understanding about what other areas are working on. It increases cross-knowledge about the environment and the other initiatives going on. It promotes learning culture. The conversations can decrease duplication of work effort if another department realizes the initiative impacts their work as well. Peer support and relationship building gets the job done faster, especially when they see the length of the work being done and the overall goal. Mentorship can also increase relationships within an organization. George Phipps is a friend who did his Royal Roads master's thesis on mentorship. Mentors can create relationships for their mentee and help develop careers. Research shows that relationships have the capacity to empower people and the organization. Knowledge and productivity is developed with relationships. There is no organization without relationships, so they need to be cultivated as much as possible.
So what are your lessons around systems in healthcare?
All systems have the same common theme. The key points of a system are the interdependence and interrelationship between each group of person within the system. Each part of the system is reliant on the other to function. My thesis focuses on improving communication, relationships, collaboration, and connections with people to improve the system and make change more successful. These concepts can be applied to any system. The system runs better when people feel connected to each other and the organization, as well as increases their association with organizational goals. Systems adapt to events. If the system does not acknowledge the importance of change, then it can be rejected.
You know, earlier you indicated when I asked you for a bit of a profile, you talked about your background and the various programs and courses you've taken and so on. Well, I know that you also have your PMI certification. Can you define what that means and what are your top tips for project management as related to the healthcare industry?
I would say develop relationships and teams, challenge the status quo, review lessons learned from other projects, and have a comprehensive risk and communications plan. Project management methodology has specific components and techniques based on best practices and the PMBOK. I think even as important as these proven techniques are the relationships you have within the organization. The communications, the processes, the procedures, and just the bureaucracy can all get in the way of getting the work done. So I would say developing and maintaining relationships, getting to know people and their strengths really helps when developing and working with teams. This includes the people internal and external to your department. It is just as important with your peers as it is to have with the doctors, clinicians, and other staff. It is also important to understand the impact of decisions being made. You need to challenge the status quo and find the best, more efficient way of doing something. How does this impact the end users and will it make their lives easier? You can spend a lot of time working on a project only to find out the end users don't like the outcome and they likely won't adopt it into the processes. Look at problems from all angles. Find as much on organizational lessons learned as you can. When doing research for my thesis, I found that approximately 75% of change does not result in success. This means there should be a lot of information about why it hasn't worked. Don't get too caught up with the information, but use it to learn from. Having a comprehensive risk management communication plan goes without saying how important these are with projects.
So you've used the terms PMBOK. Can you define what that means? And again, getting back to PMI, what does that mean?
The PMI stands for Project Management Institute, and it's an organization for project managers. And the PMBOK is it's the book that the project managers rely on that has the information about the common procedures, common practices, and just basically what project management is. It's the foundation of what project management is. It includes tools, what project managers can use as tools, and best practices and guides.
Do you find that you make active use of your PMI certification?
I haven't really used my PMP that much at Vancouver Coastal Health. I've worked with project managers, and I've worked on many projects. However, I've actually found that VCH has hired out external project managers, and so far, like, I've been given opportunities with smaller projects more recently, but I have worked on large projects as well. I worked on email migration, where we went from GroupWise to Outlook. I've worked on PCIS rollout, which is our patient care information system. I've worked on regional login. I've worked on many different projects in different capacities.
You also have your ITIL certification. Can you define what that means, and what is the value of this education, and how do you use it?
ITIL, I think, having the awareness of having a common language and how even IT people refer to processes and systems differently. We also need to make information more readily available than is already the case. VCH Information Management Services is starting to work towards creating a comprehensive configuration management database, or CMDB, and developing service level agreements, more so with the recent health authority amalgamation. We have also implemented a service tool which is based on ITIL and has changed our processes. At this point, it's a lot about awareness and what we need to be working towards, as well as what the best practices are.
So you've already been talking about this throughout the interview, and that is you obtained a master's degree. So what is the value of your master's, and how are you using it?
Where do I start with this one? I could go on forever about this one. I just found the program to be incredible and life-changing. The program I took was on leadership with a focus on healthcare systems at Royal Roads University. The cohort was all in the healthcare system in one capacity or another, so we learned from each other. We learned about the challenges and opportunities that exist at all levels. It was extremely interesting to learn about the healthcare system on a much larger scale than what I have previously known. I learned about accountability and how every area really has the same issues as the next. It doesn't matter what department you work in, as the challenges everyone experiences all have the same common root cause, such as communication processes and change. I can see problems as more of a systems issue that is all related or linked somehow, rather than individual. I understand more so now how healthcare is accountable to the public for providing a service, and what the real goals are, which are providing the best port services to the doctors and clinicians who provide care to the patients. In the end, it's all about the patients receiving care, and I don't necessarily think that I realize that. Like, you understand the concept that it is all about the patients, but when you get caught up in your day-to-day work, it's more about the desktops and just the software that's installed on it and how it all works together, but you don't realize that the end benefit is for the patient. And the connections I made with people during the program were amazing. I met some really great people who I really admire and respect. This also reinforced the importance of relationships in an organization. Most people would say that relationships make up 80% of an organization. I would rate that a little higher. Relationships are the ability to get anything done. Also recognizing that everyone has their strengths that they work towards, and people want to be good at what they do. Team building was an important theme with the Royal Roads program. It's not always a good idea to try to accomplish a task, but rather develop the team first in order to get the work done. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. A team can accomplish a task even better when they spend more time initially getting to know one another and their strengths. Once people know each other and what they can bring to the table, the process becomes more efficient. On a personal level, I learned about myself. The program is competency-based, so we had exercises, or what is called EDs, where we had to demonstrate what we learned. This included systems thinking and planning, learning and teaching, organizations and organizational change, research and inquiry, team building, communication, character, ethics, style, and creativity. I learned what my strengths are, what my triggers are, and how I react. I learned about personal style and how I and others approach things. I learned about what is important to me, what my values are, and what I would or would not compromise on. I do a lot more reflecting than I used to. I consider other people more so than I used to, and where they may be coming from. I have the skills to be able to learn and to teach others. It was truly, again, an amazing program, and highly recommend it.
What lessons can you share from the projects you've worked on in healthcare?
I would say one of the most important things is to talk to the frontline staff who knows the environment. Although they may not have all the answers, they do have a lot of information that is vital to any project. They can help guide the project and potentially save a lot of money. It's extremely important to get the right people in the room. It also helps create buy-in when frontline staff are involved from the start. Communicate to the staff, stakeholders, and end users. Let them know what's in it for them. Communicate the benefits. Keep communication to the end users simple and straightforward. Otherwise, you can receive a lot of help desk calls. Communicate to the internal staff and let them know what's happening and how it impacts their work as well. Communication is extremely important. Be persistent. There are so many competing priorities. A project can lose momentum and quickly become less important. Funding can be pulled if the benefits for projects and milestones are not being met. Make sure the goals of the project are SMART, which is specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound, and the scope is clearly defined. Know the strengths of people on the team as well as people who may not be on the team but contribute to the project. It gets the work done more efficiently to know what skills people have. Have a comprehensive risk management plan and strategy. Because things change so quickly, it's important to have a backup plan and contingencies in place.
What are the best job resources for IT professionals?
It's interesting how small this world is. Although Vancouver Coastal Health is a large organization, there are a lot of project managers and staff who know each other from other health authorities and private industry and also have many other connections. There's a lot of networking going on. So I would say network as much as possible. I would suggest getting involved in professional networking organizations such as KIPS or PMI. Also creating connections through social networking tools such as LinkedIn. Just getting out with people and making connections wherever possible.
You know, we've gone through a lot of change these past years, and there's a lot of dynamic forces in the marketplace today and in industry and society. So how do you manage change?
You really have to be open and willing to roll with change. You have to have the ability to adapt and respond quickly. You also have to have the awareness of what, why, and how change is occurring. Remain positive and try to see the big picture. Consider the benefits and implications of the change and work towards these goals. You can't always control change, but you can change how you deal with it.
Can you make your predictions for the future, the implications, and how we can best prepare?
I've been doing a lot of research and reading more so over the past 2 years. Change is constant for any organization. I think that change needs to be considered a good thing as it keeps ideas fresh. Try to be creative and think outside the box when it comes to change. Consider impact and try to find the links, dependencies, and connections. What does a change mean and how can we make it work more efficiently? Strive to keep current with IT trends. Seek out learning and education opportunities whenever possible. Network with people to find out what else is happening outside of your organization. There are no certainties in today's economy, so you have to be as flexible and open to change as possible. You have to examine your mental models of the world, step back and take a system view of your environment. I would also say that you need to examine your own values and mental models and find ways to relax, de-stress, and achieve a work-life balance.
So what do you see as the top challenges facing us today, and how do you propose they be solved?
I would say change resistance and culture, in two parts. Most people are scared of change or don't know how to deal with it, so be open to it. Welcome change as a gift and an opportunity. Learn and adapt to change. The quicker you can learn from and adapt to change, the more successful you'll be. One aspect of culture is that society needs more people who challenge the status quo. Need people to ask more questions. Instead of following along to maintain and support existing systems, think of how things can be done better. It is difficult to be the person to do this, but every organization needs strong people to ask why and to come up with alternative solutions. There isn't always one way of doing things, and just because it's always been done this way doesn't mean it's the best way. Break outside of the norm and be the person who leads and champions change by asking questions. Society needs more of these types of people. Another challenge of today's culture is an individualistic way of thinking. It should be more about giving to others and for others rather than how you can make more money and what you can acquire. Think outside of your own personal circle and strive to help other people. How can you guide them, mentor them, challenge them? What do they need, and how can you help?
Now, we've covered a lot of territory, and you talked a lot about your experiences, whether it's in the project side or with infrastructure and the various aspects of healthcare, leadership, communications, relationships, and so on. Now, let's turn the tables. If you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answers?
I would probably include a question like, how do you find balance in your life? My answer to that would be spending time with friends and always considering other people and other points of view. Question number two would be, what do you value the most, which is relationships and connections with people, as per the themes in my interview. I enjoy giving to others and considering other people. Question number three, what are your personal values and how do you ensure you stay true to these values? Staying true to my values is extremely important, more so since I went through the Rural Roads program. I've actually come to realize the importance of my personal values. First, you have to know what your values are, so you have to do some reflecting. If I am in a position where I have to compromise my values, I wonder if it's worth it. If it is worth it for me, then I rely on my code of ethics and what is the greater good or lesser harm. I also strive to find opportunities to reflect and find balance in every situation.
There's this program that's been building out globally, and it's produced by the International Federation for Information Processing, and it's called IP3, which is a program of professionalizing the profession. Do you see ways that can improve the healthcare industry, and what are your comments on this IP3 program?
From what I know of IP3, they strive for having standards, and it's an extended knowledge base. Is this correct?
Yeah, there are tie-ins with standards and so on. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and having extended knowledge base—that's kind of what I know of it. So it's a larger IT organization that people get together and they talk about the issues. The Shared Services Amalgamation initiatives of the health authorities are focused on standardization, so I strongly believe in that. Having standards reduces duplication of work effort and increases efficiencies, and in the healthcare industry, that's very important. It also decreases spending, which benefits the taxpayer and the Canadian health system overall, so I definitely think that I3 could be incorporated.
Well, Lynette, that's the end of the interview, and with your demanding schedule, we are indeed fortunate to have you come in to do this interview. So thank you for sharing your substantial wisdom with our audience.
Thank you again for the opportunity.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Lynette Wallach, a highly regarded IT leader and senior analyst.